Welcome to the Aligned Musician Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kimberly Hankins, and I'm a violist as well as a yoga and breathwork facilitator. I created this podcast to empower musicians like you to find your own path towards healing and normalize conversations around musicians' wellness. I'm so grateful for your support and thank you for joining me. Dr. Janice Ying is the owner and founder of Opus Physical Therapy and Performance. She is an ABPTS board-certified clinical specialist in orthopedic physical therapy, serving the greater Los Angeles area, and is widely recognized as an expert in the field of performing arts medicine. Most recently, she has been awarded the 2021 Emerging Leader Award by the American Physical Therapy Association Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy for her contributions to the profession through promoting physical therapy in the performing arts. She is currently the physical therapist at the Colburn School Conservatory of Music and the American Contemporary Ballet. Thank you so much for being here, Janice.
Yeah, thanks. I'm ready to go. Whatever you've got for me, I'm here.
Awesome. Let's jump in. So can you talk a little bit about your backgrounds? What is your experience with musicians' wellness issues? And why did you decide to create Opus Physical Therapy and Performance?
Yes. So my background actually is that I grew up as a pianist and violinist. So I grew up playing my whole life, started piano at 4, violin at 5th grade, so whatever that is, 8, 9. and so I did both quite competitively until college, and then I went on to pursue a piano performance degree and a music education degree for my undergrad. So as I was working, and I did both instruments in college as well, so I was on scholarship for both. So having done both instruments, I did suffer a good deal of playing related injuries, and through that process, what I realized is that no one really knew how to help me. So I had obviously talked to my teachers, who were my music instructors, and they weren't really clear on how to help me try and get over my injuries. And then when I did go and seek medical help, they weren't really quite sure what to do with me either. So I kind of got frustrated and decided that I was going to take it upon myself to learn about the body, and so that musicians that come after me don't have to go through the things that I went through. So I did have shoulder surgery as a result of my violin playing. I was able to go back to playing, so it wasn't like it was career ending or anything like that. But by that point, I had made up my mind that I was going to kind of change route, and kind of go down this other path. So after I graduated from undergrad with my music degrees, I then had to go back and take all the classes for PT school, which took another 2 years. And then my doctorate degree was another 3 years. And I've been a PT now for going on 11 years, which is really crazy. But my career has been dedicated to, researching and kind of developing treatment strategies and injury prevention strategies for musicians. So it's really the whole reason why I got into PT was to do that. I do work with, all different injuries and all different walks of life. So I do treat kind of your quote unquote normal patient. But, my passion and like what I really love doing is treating musicians, and so I started Opus Physical Therapy in the fall of 2019. So really great timing, pre-pandemic. But you know what? I was really lucky, and it's been a really great adventure. And it's really given me time to really develop the areas that I really wanted to work on and build. So honestly, my practice right now is probably 75% musicians. Which is something that I never thought would happen, but people are starting to look for this. They start to realize that there are people like me who are out there to help musicians, and to have someone understand kind of what they're going through is, I think, really unique. And I wish I had me when I was going through that stuff. So yeah, it's been a really great journey for me, and I'm very thankful for everyone who's been like very welcoming and, open to hearing the things that I have to say.
You are so inspiring to me. You have done so much
Thank you.
work for musicians. And I remember when I was first getting into kind of the musicians wellness space here on Instagram, I just always appreciated your just like science-based information, like cutting right to the point, like here it is.
Yeah.
And with your like weekly anatomy quizzes and
You know what? That actually is the most consistent thing I've done since pandemic, and I think it's really fun. I love seeing people answer, and I mean, people have been really engaged, which is really, really why I keep on doing it. It's like, okay, well, people are paying attention, but really, my whole intention behind that is because is that I want musicians to really start to understand more about their bodies. And it's like, okay, you get these little trivia things like once a week, but hopefully it'll start to get you to think about, oh, there are actually moving parts and things that go on in my body that are helpful for me to start learning about. So that was really the intention behind it. And I actually do believe that people do need to start learning a little bit more about their body so they know what to do about it. And that's kind of my mission at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that too. And I know you're doing actually an anatomy course pretty soon, right?
Yeah, it's starting next week. So it's starting on, what month are we in? April 20. I don't even know where I'm at. April 22nd. So yeah, I'm actually really excited because I've been talking about that. Man, I think I've been talking about it even like when we first met, like that I was like really wanting to do something like that. And yeah, so finally I was like, okay, I'm gonna set a date. We're gonna put this together. And I'm actually really excited because it's not just like anatomy where you're learning like where muscles attach and all that stuff. It's like I'm trying to pick certain muscles to highlight that are relevant for musicians, like the key ones that they use and how, and for me, it's like trying to help people link together how they all play with each other. And so that's really kind of what my goal is through this course is, over the course of 8 weeks. I mean, you know me, I could talk for days, so
Talk for days, I feel
that's true.
like.
But it's an 8 hour course, but it's spread through 8 weeks. And every week we kind of break down a certain body part or a certain component and have people explore. And I have a anatomy app that I love, so I kind of guide people and just let them explore, let them learn, let them play around with it, but having some guidance on like what to look for. And I really do think that it's really important for people to start to understand and absorb. I think it's really going to help people, to kind of take first steps to learning more about their bodies.
I absolutely agree. And I feel like there's so many misconceptions floating around about how the body works.
Yeah. Yes.
And it can be hard and challenging to work with a professor as a music student and have your professor not really understand how the body works, and or
Yep.
even just having that language to work with. Having an anatomical language to work with to be able to communicate what it is you're experiencing or feeling, or
Yep.
just questions that come up. I know that was what started my journey to learning anatomy, was like I wanted to have the vocabulary to be
Yeah.
able to communicate what I was experiencing.
Right.
And I think that if we as a music community all learn anatomy and have that common language between us, I think that a lot of some of the issues we see can
Yeah,
hopefully be
I
reduced.
think it's a really important first step. I mean, obviously, musicians don't need to have all the medical terminology and like throw those things around. But I think it's important. I mean, I've not only heard medical professionals give musicians bad advice, but I've also heard musicians giving other musicians really bad advice. And not because that it was ill-intended. There's no like bad intentions. Like everyone who was giving whatever that advice was probably did believe those things or believe that that was the best for that person at the time. But without the kind of foundational knowledge, so like musicians, if they don't have kind of general health knowledge or anatomy or kind of how what tendonitis is tendonitis the same as carpal tunnel? I hear that all the time. Like, and those, although they're completely opposite, like different things, different tissues, those terminologies just kind of get mushed in altogether. Like everyone has carpal tunnel, but not really. But then the same thing too, like medical professionals, like the most common thing I'll hear is that they'll just tell people to stop playing. And for a musician, that's just not really realistic. Or they're just like, well, just stop playing and it'll get better. But when you start playing again, then things come back. So it's like, okay, well, let's try and figure this out. Yeah, so there's a lot of areas that still need to be researched in terms of how to get a musician back healthily. You know, there's a lot of research right now on like sports, how to get someone to return back to sport after they've had like a knee surgery or a shoulder surgery. You know, there's certain protocols. And not to say everyone fits into a protocol, but like to ha give people some guidance on like timeline and what to expect. What are the key things that people should be looking at to move to the next step? I think that's something that's important for people to start to examine and really think about.
Yeah, you brought up so many great points there, and it's, yeah, I think that there is a lot of great intention behind what people say, and also I think that when it comes to medical professionals, and I can only speak from my own personal experience, and I also come from a family of medical professionals, and so it's really interesting because, like, you know, out of my family members that are nurses and physicians, they don't have the same kind of training to understand how the body is supposed to move and function. And I think that that's why physical therapy is so important, because you're filling in all of those blanks in a physician's knowledge or another medical professional. Not to say that what their understanding is isn't as important, but they have a
Correct.
very different training than what a physical therapist has. And so for listeners who don't know what physical therapy is, I'm just gonna throw this out there, maybe in just like a really short answer to this. What is physical therapy, and why is this something that musicians should do?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And how long do we have? No, I'm just kidding.
Work.
So physical therapy is a it's definitely a field that is very new, believe it or not. So it got actually got started in the polio days where, you know, the little kids who had contracted polio like were bedbound and they needed people to start moving. So in a sense, physical therapy has really evolved. And what we take pride in and like what we do is we consider ourselves to be movement specialists. And so what that means is that we're trained primarily to be able to watch someone move and be able to dissect it down into, okay, well, what are the components that are necessary to create that movement? So I'll put it in kind of like a musician context. So you're a violist, so we'll talk about viola, playing the viola. So, okay, well, like what position is the shoulder in when you're holding your instrument? What does the right hand do? And what kind of flexibility does someone need to have in order to achieve that playing position? What kind of strength does someone need to have in order to play the instrument? And then what nerve mobility, all those things. So we take what we know about the body, like physically, neuro-wise, neuromuscularly, like how the brain talks to muscles, all the components of the systems of the body, and then we link it back to movement. So, and then we kind of, what I call is, I kind of reverse engineer it. So someone had a problem. It's like, okay, well, I know you have shoulder pain when you play. Why are we getting that shoulder pain? What about it is causing this to happen? Like, where's the breakdown occurring? And then it could be strength, it could be nerve problems, it could be the flexibility, all that. So physical therapists are really good about that. We don't necessarily know, like, if someone has cancer, for example, we're not the ones to diagnose someone with that. Although I have picked up a couple of cases where, like, this isn't really fitting the pattern of a hip pain, so let's send them back to the doctor, and it ended up being cancer, unfortunately. But at least we were able to identify that this is not matching something musculoskeletal. But I mean, there's many, many cases of that. But physical therapists, we're movement experts, and I agree, I'm biased, but I agree with you, that we're really well equipped to be able to help musicians learn how to avoid injuries, but then also what to do about them when they do have them.
There's a lot of positive outcomes, it seems like, from musicians who have maybe been struggling with pain, go see a physical therapist, and then are able to feel better just through the exercises and the movements that are prescribed, which I think is so cool.
It is a pretty cool profession, but again, I'm biased, so
I'm a little
if
biased too, because I, you know my story with physical therapy. I actually didn't. It wasn't related to music, but I had a knee injury and I was in a lot of pain. I couldn't teach yoga at that time. And I couldn't practice yoga, obviously. And so I went to a physical therapist, and it was like within weeks, I felt so much better. And just having someone who could tell me like what my muscular imbalances are that I was dealing with, and then show me the exercises to do. And I was a very diligent patient because I went home and I set a timer for the same time every day and I did my exercises. So I think like doing the exercises is a big part of it too,
It
but.
really is. And I think that, it's really easy to go into a treatment. I mean, I see this luckily not as often now than when I was working in the clinic before, where people just like heal me and then like, and they like expect you to do your thing on them, and then they go home and they don't do anything that you tell them to, like no stretches, no strengthening, and they come back and the pain is the same. It's like, well, physicians prescribe medication or they prescribe certain things. Like, our prescription is exercise or, stretches or strengthening, like whatever other component that we're not able to address in the clinic, that's also your treatment plan. And so if you're only doing half your treatment plan, then you're probably not going to make a full recovery. So, I mean, we dream of patients like you who are like super on top of things, because that's where you really see the biggest results, because everyone is working hard and working together to for the end goal, which is to get you better, right? Like, you want to be better. Obviously, we want you to get better. We don't want to sit around like, oh, I don't want this person to get better. That said no one ever. So, I mean, really, as kind of tedious and annoying as exercises can be sometimes, it really is for a certain reason and with a certain intention. So, I feel like everyone has to be very engaged in the treatment plan for things to work out.
Oh, it can be hard sometimes
It
too.
is
I
hard.
remember the first
I am a
appointment.
horrible PT patient. I will be
Oh,
completely honest with you.
yeah. I remember my first appointment. It was like, oh, do this really basic exercise. And I was like, okay, on my injured leg. And it was so hard. And I was literally in tears at certain points doing these exercises that I thought were just so basic. And my previous self, former self, may have been able to do, but it was like so hard. And so I think that there's definitely a psychological component to it too,
There
if you're
is
willing to stick with it.
very big psychological component to it at 100 gajillion percent. And I think you bring up another important point is that oftentimes you don't have to do big fancy exercises in order to make improvement. And I try and talk to musicians about this too, is like oftentimes we don't actually realize where our real baseline is. Because you think about it, so like musicians, a lot of musicians, I'm not saying everyone, but a lot of musicians that I know, they, especially ones in like college or grad school, they're like practicing hours on end, right? And but they never took the time to ramp up to playing hours. They just did it one day. And the body is going to comply and, listen to what you wish for it to do, whether it's ready or not. And so a lot of times people kind of jump into these higher intensity things without physically being ready for it. And so when you finally break it down enough and you actually test their strength, you're like, wow, these people are actually like really weak. And you have to do kind of quote unquote basic exercises to build them up, but it's basic because they never had that strength to begin with. So it's like people kind of just jump 3 steps ahead without giving their bodies time to catch up.
Oh,
So,
that's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way.
That's actually what I
So,
see a lot, is that people are super weak, but they can do extraordinary things. Like they're amazing performers, like incredible performers. And you're like, how? Like, but they do it. And like just think about how much better you could be if you were like just a little bit stronger. But it's true. Like, but they don't think about these things, which I'm hoping will change in time.
So here's a question. I have no idea what the answer to this is, but do you see a lot of people that maybe have adjustments to their instruments, or like I'm thinking of viola, like a higher chin rest or higher shoulder rest or whatever setup? Do you find that the issue with a lot of people is just muscular strength, joint strength that needs to be worked up, or flexibility? Or do you find that there are any certain setups that tend to give people problems? Or like, is it a combination?
It's a combination. So I would say it's probably like, if I were to kind of very roughly estimate, I would say it's probably like 30% setup and the rest is physical. Because in the world of ergonomics, so ergonomics is kind of your work setup, or the study of someone's work. And so your typical ergonomics is where you're thinking about like your computer workstation setup. Like you have your monitor and your keyboard and everything. You need to be sitting in an office chair, like your kind of stereotypical thing. But ergonomics very much applies to instrument setup as well. So it's really important. And someone could have like, someone could come and pay me a lot of money to set up their instrument correctly, but it could all be thrown out the window if they're not using it correctly. Same thing with the office chair. You could buy like a $5,000 office chair, but if you're just sitting there slouched in it, like it doesn't matter how expensive it is. It's not going to cure your back pain. So it's all about like how you use the setup. So that's why I say that the setup is only a certain portion of it. Now, if your setup is overcorrecting you for something, so like let's say we'll talk about chin rest. So if you have a chin rest that's too tall and is like pushing your head away, then there's nothing that you can do to compensate for that because it's going to be an overcorrection. It's sometimes better to be undercorrected than overcorrected, because your body can still support and stabilize without that support. But it also depends on, yeah, it's one of those it depends scenarios, but
Yeah.
it depends on how you intend on using that setup, I guess, is a short and simple way of saying that answer.
Yeah, I find that too in working with students, and I work with a lot of violinists and violists who have issues with their setup, and I help them find a better setup. But sometimes I do wonder, like, how much is this really at the end of the day in comparison with everything you have going on? Like, how much is this going to help versus seeing a physical therapist or seeing someone that can help you address some of the underlying muscular imbalances or
Yeah, so I would say that most musicians that I've encountered, they might be strong, but they might not have the endurance to last as long as you're asking your body to perform. And that's really kind of where that like overuse category starts to come into play. So having a good setup will help you be a little bit more efficient with your playing, so that you can like take rest breaks, so you're not kind of depending on your muscles to kind of hold you in the right posture all the time, and you can kind of come back and relax back onto your chin rest or shoulder rest. In that way, you're not kind of going back and forth between, or you're not lifting your instrument all the time. So there's a lot of ways that having a good setup can be extremely beneficial, but it's one of those things where it's important for people who are doing the setups. So teachers mostly, right? Teachers are doing the setups. And so they need to be aware of like what is a good setup. I don't think anyone's really looked at that before. Like, what does a good setup actually mean? And it doesn't mean like, okay, well, a good setup is that everyone buys the same shoulder rest. No, like, because everyone's body is different. It doesn't mean that, oh, okay, well, this type of chin rest is going to help take your neck pain away. No, like, so it has to be very customized. And so, unless you know what you're trying to accomplish, it can be very challenging. And on the flip side, PTs, I don't know very many PTs who are string players. So, you don't want to necessarily have a PT who doesn't know anything about instruments fit an instrumentalist for their ergonomics either. Like, it needs to be an open dialogue, right? So do you
Yeah.
see where kind of there's this big abyss of just no one really knows, and so just trying to kind of come together from both ends to try and understand, so that we can help people.
Someone says the classic PT phrase, it
Oh
depends.
yeah, I mean it's. I always preface it with I know, but it depends. Like, it's so
Though.
true, and I feel bad because then you can see people just get frustrated. I was like, no, but let me explain. Like, let me explain why it depends. But then we end up talking for 45 minutes, and then people like, yeah, it's hard.
Not everyone's a nerd about anatomy and physical therapy.
Right. Exactly.
So it seems like, I know we've talked about this before. It seems like the studies or surveys coming forward are saying that the majority of professional musicians struggle with injury. In your opinion, or from your research, is that true? And how accurate are some of these studies?
Okay, so I mean, the general consensus is that anywhere from 76% as high as 93% of musicians will experience some kind of playing-related pain. Now, how they define a playing-related pain is kind of the where things get a little bit confusing, because the studies aren't defining playing-related pain as something consistent across the board. Like, some people are looking at it in like a 1 year incidence. Like, in 1 year, in this sample of people, how likely is someone to get some kind of pain? Or is it a lifetime? how likely is someone to get pain, or how what percentage of people get pain. So I think it's important to know the range, but and it's high. I mean, and if you compare that, like the incidence of pain, or the prevalence, I should say, the prevalence of pain, if you compare that to a normal population, it's extraordinarily high. If you just took like a normal, your average Joe, or a sample of average Joes who don't play music, and compare them to musicians, like they are extraordinarily different. Musicians have higher incidences of plant-related pain. So, I mean, I think it's important to know that, but the number itself, I wouldn't focus quite so much about it, because we've studied how frequently people get pain over since the 70s. Like that's kind of when the first major study was, and then people have surveyed throughout, and now we're in 2021. So we've been studying for quite some time. And so there are very few studies, or I mean, it's growing, there's a growing body of evidence, but now it's like, okay, well, what do we do about it? And so I think that's really what needs to be pushed now, is, okay, we've very firmly established that people get hurt. So what is it about these things that cause people to get hurt? And then we can learn what, like how to reverse that number or make that number go lower. So
do you think it's possible for all musicians to prevent injury? Or how many, like, out of that percentage of people who deal with, and maybe that's a question you can't answer at all. I'm just asking crazy questions because I'm like, I have a doctor of physical therapy here.
I would say, I mean, okay, playing certain instruments, a lot of instrument playing positions is just not a normal playing position to be in for a long time. So, I mean, I don't expect the prevalence ever to go to 0%. I mean, I just don't think that's possible. But if we could get it to like 20 to 30%, maybe even 40% would be, I mean, not great, but it would be good. It would be better. At least we'd be moving in the right direction. I think that... I think a lot of it is just knowledge, and musicians, I think a big thing that I've been really excited about, like since I started getting into the Instagram space and kind of seeing what people are talking about, is that people actually are talking about it. Like, it's so different than when I was going through school. You know, it like never was discussed, or people were like, oh, you hurt? Well, that sucks. And then they moved on to the next conversation, you know? So I think it's really great that people are talking about it a little bit more. They're taking it upon themselves to learn these things. And I'm hoping that momentum just continues. I think it's been really good and important that music schools, at least the NASM schools, are required to have some kind of health component in their music curriculums. But hopefully that gets more robust as time goes on. I think it's really important, obviously, but I mean, yes, I would love to see the injury rate go way down. Will it ever go to zero? Probably not, but any bit is going to be helpful.
Yeah, I totally agree too that music schools need to kind of step up their game a little bit. I mean, I think with the NASM requirement, it's good, but some schools will just offer. I'm trying to like not call out certain music schools right now. But some will offer like a wellness related thing, and then have that cover everything, and they might offer it at times where students may be unavailable. And so there's so many factors, and it's, I can see how it's challenging from their perspective too, because I think freshman performance majors or education majors are already being asked to do so much stuff that adding another class on top of everything can be
Yeah,
a lot.
I think there are ways to build it in without making a whole class about it, but I also think that if you're going to develop a class about it, then whoever's teaching those topics also needs to be more educated about it. They can't just talk about it to cover, like to check off boxes, which is, I mean, not all schools. Some schools have amazing programs. But some schools, they have a music professor who might be interested in wellness, but maybe don't have like a ton of background into it. So it's like just based on what they research. Again, these are all like well-intended things. It's just the execution could be improved. So that's, I
Yeah,
mean,
absolutely.
my goal is to have a course that all music schools can implement, and where it's not like too much of an ask, just on a basic level. They don't need to have like a whole full-blown anatomy course unless they want to. Some people really like that stuff and like really helps them internalize what they're working on and what they how they're gonna connect with their body, but not everyone functions that way.
Oh,
It's okay.
absolutely. Yeah. So, what are some of the most common things you see musicians deal with? Is it all just repetitive stress injury, or are there certain things that you're just stick out in your mind as like, oh my gosh, I'm dealing with this every single day, the same patient over and over again? Or are there any like, I don't know, generalizations you can make about musicians' wellness issues.
I
And
would
then we'll get to some of the questions because I do see people asking questions. Thank you.
I would say that it depends on the instrument. So every group of instrument has kind of unique challenges. But as a whole, I see a lot of neck pain. I mean, also just because our postures are awful. Like, we have really bad postures most of the time. And I don't see a ton of, I do see hand pain, but not as frequently as one might assume. Like people assume that, oh, you must have a lot of issues with hands. I was like, not so much. It's usually like neck or some kind of like nerve, like pinched nerve a lot of times will be another factor. When instrumentalists, I'll see a lot of like facial pain or like jaw pain is another like common thing that I'll see a lot. Yeah, it's you kind of have to be able to be good at everything when working with musicians. Because like marching band musicians are completely different. Like they have totally different injuries than orchestral or kind of your standard, average musician. Because marching band is like you have a lot more frequency of like lower extremity issues, like knee pain, ankle pain, shin splints, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's
Interesting.
always fun.
Okay, I'm going to go through some of these questions. So,
Okay.
someone, Florence Suana, is saying, "Hi, I'm a violist. Here in Brazil, unfortunately, we don't give special attention to our bodies, and pretty much everyone has
Oh
injuries.
no.
Are there any?" Yeah, I
All
know.
of Brazil?
Hopefully, not all of Brazil. Are there any practical step-by-step things that we can do to start to prevent injury that maybe this person can share with their friends?
It depends. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a lot, right?
It's a lot. I mean, I think the general a good place to start, I think, is kind of going through kind of general stretches. And I'll say this with a caveat because some people who are very flexible or hypermobile might not benefit from a ton of stretching. Like, stretching does not solve everything. Some people are very flexible, if not over flexible, where stretching could not be harmful, but it just wouldn't be helpful. You know? So people who are super flexible might need to focus a lot more on just overall strengthening. So that's kind of where the it depends comes into play. But in general, I would say kind of gentle stretching, you know, neck muscles. You can work, especially because musicians use their hands a lot, working on like the forearm, stretching out the forearm muscles is really beneficial. But I really encourage all musicians to really work on like core strength. And so that's where I think like yoga and Pilates are really beneficial for addressing those things. And it's something that like people just don't even think about, that like, why do I need my core when I'm playing? It's like the core is called a core for a reason. Like, it's your core, like it's your foundation. So if you don't have a good functioning core, then everything else has to work a lot harder because you're not able to stabilize well. So any kind of core strengthening is really good. I know some people are hesitant to put weight on their hands, and that's okay. It's usually not a bad thing to put weight on your hands, but I understand people are sensitive to that. But there's plenty of ways to modify exercises and still get a good core workout. And I think if anything, you know, just even starting there would be a good place to kind of start building.
Oh, absolutely. And also learning basic anatomy
Learning, yes.
and
Yeah. And so,
increasing your self-awareness
yeah, I
and
mean,
yeah.
what I used to do like months ago is I used to post about different muscles. Like, it was an anatomy, what was it? Anatomy Monday? I forget what I called it. Anyways, I used to talk about different muscles, and in it, I will usually post like little exercises to help address that specific muscle. So, all of those things that I post are things that I don't say it outright in my posts, but they're all safe for musicians to do, because that's usually who is watching my feed. But I, yeah, they're all safe things for people to do. And if you have questions, then just reach out and ask. And if I can't answer it, I'll try and find someone who can.
Oh, that's awesome. So we can go to your Instagram and
Yeah.
just kind of scroll down and see all of those exercises.
Yeah. I
Awesome.
haven't been great about. Oh, they're called Muscle Mondays. That's what it was.
Muscle Mondays.
But yeah, I haven't been great about updating that because since I've been busier. But at least the videos that are on there are very safe to do generally.
Awesome. I'll have to go check those out.
Yeah.
So Violino Jenny asks, maybe this isn't a question, would love some more financial support for musicians' well-being, physical and mental. I think some people avoid preventive care because of cost. Is there any workarounds? Are there any
Yes.
workarounds to that or suggestions you have for someone who may not have the financial means to be able to see a physical therapist?
Yes. So there are a number of organizations that help, that are built to help musicians get the care that they seek. And they have different requirements, of course, of like who qualifies for aid. But one that I've teamed up for a long time with is Music Cares through the Grammy Foundation. And so, you know, they have their criteria. I think you have to be on, like, you have to work in the industry, or you have to be on a certain number of, like, tracks on an album. But as long as you qualify, you can receive aid. So, Music Cares was started to help with addiction recovery services, but they also help with mental health. They help, they will send people to get PT, or if they need surgery, they also have like, you know, financial crisis aid. So, you know, if their car breaks down and they need money, they will, you know, give money to help out and in whatever way they can. And there's also, I mean, there's a bunch. There's the New Orleans Musicians. Oh, I'm gonna butcher the name. There's a New Orleans Musicians Fund or something to that effect. There's the Actors Fund. There's a bunch of organizations, so you know, you can do a quick search and see if you qualify, or if you know they're offering aid for whatever it is that you're looking for. But I agree. I think that, you know, one, there aren't a lot of people like me that like super specialize in working with musicians. But even then, like trying to get the funding and the time to go and seek help, you know, people might not have the resources all the time, and so it's a fine balance, right? So, you know, what I do on my end is if I have a musician who can't afford my fee, like I'm always happy to work with them because I understand, especially this last year, like no one was working. And so I was doing a ton of pro bono work and I was okay with that, you know, like
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
yeah, I would just talk to whoever that you're seeking and see if they're willing to work with you. Like most of the time they probably will be. But it just depends on what it's going to look like. That's up to you to kind of work out. But there are many people who are more than happy to help out. I promise.
Great suggestions in there too. I think, yeah, it's. And I think physical therapy and occupational therapy too, can be so helpful for musicians. And you know, if you can see a musician specialist in physical therapy, I think that's amazing. Like you or Cody or some of the other physical therapists out there who specialize with musicians. But I'm always any person who contacts me saying they're in pain, I'm always like, just go see a physical therapist or check out Janice's page because the
I
work
mean,
that you're doing is so important.
no, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I think because there's people so few and far between, like if I'm not physically able to help the person who reaches out to me, I try my best to link them up with someone who can. Even if it's not someone who like quote unquote specializes in working with musicians, like we talked about earlier, PTs are equipped with the knowledge to break something down to understand the movement behind it. So as long as they take the time to do it, and usually I'm always happy to work with that PT, like kind of consult with them. Like if they don't know something about the instrument or whatever, like I'm always happy to work with them on the back end, you know, so that they're not missing out on something. So that, because I mean, really, at the end of the day, it's about making sure that that person gets back to playing. That's the most important thing.
That's awesome. So, for those listening that might be struggling with pain right now or an injury or recovery, is there anything that you would suggest to them? I don't know if you can answer that question, but if you can offer some general things.
I would say that, I mean, I think it's really important for musicians to really start to care more about their bodies because without the health of your body, you can't play your instrument. Like, you know, so I think, but not only look at it that way, like, obviously, you want to avoid injury, but think about how to enhance your performance. You hear a lot about, you know, sports performance training and like how to, you know, work, you know, pitchers work on, you know, their arm strength and they have very specific exercises. Like, why shouldn't musicians train for their instruments too? Like, I think if people start to think about preparing their bodies for whatever task it is that they're doing, and how to maximize their performance, not from how they're sounding, although maximizing your strength or improving your strength is probably or could actually help your overall performance, your sound generation, your fluidity and your phrasing, all of that. But think about how to make yourself better. We're always practicing, we're always looking to enhance how we sound. So why not think about how you can enhance your body to help you with that too? And I think if you just flip that mindset a little bit, I think that's gonna go a long way. So that's all I have to say about that. But take time to learn about your bodies. Like, I mean, I'm very passionate about it, and I want to help as many people do that as possible. But people are going to have to, you know, take their own steps to do that. And if it's something that I can help guide, I'm happy to do that. If it's something that, you know, they want to seek a different avenue to do that, that's fine too. But just learn more. Always be learning. That's a big thing for me.
Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
No, I think we covered a lot.
We really did.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think don't be afraid to ask for help. I think everyone wants to help, but if you don't ask for it, they don't know that you need help. So you have to be your own advocate and speak up. So that's probably the only other thing I can say about that.
Oh, so true. So, how can we find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at opus underscore PT, or you can find me on my website is opuspt.com. I have a course, I know we talked about this, but I have a course that I'm launching next Thursday. So you can find information about the course on that as well.
You also
And
have a podcast,
I
right?
do, yeah, yes, we do have a podcast. The podcast is with Kaylee Miller, and it's called Beyond the Practice Room. And so, in that, it's actually really cool. It's been really, really fun to have like great conversations such as this. But what we do is we get other kind of, we go a little deeper behind like the music making. So we've had someone who is a specialist on learning, like how does someone make practicing the most effective. We just had an audiologist. The most recent episode that we released last Friday was an audiologist who specializes in musicians, and kind of her take. It was so funny to have that conversation with her because it was like so parallel to me. It's just in like different settings. But that was a fascinating conversation. So it was like kind of finding people who understand kind of like the health or science component, or a science a component of health and science, and how it relates back to music or music making. And they're all people so far who are musicians themselves. So you know, it's been a really cool series to have those conversations, and just to help share knowledge with people about kind of what goes on under the hood, when we're thinking, we're learning, we're playing, like what that all entails. So it's been a fun project for us to work on, for sure.
That's so cool. I've been really enjoying your episodes too.
Yeah,
So
thanks.
definitely go check out that podcast. And yeah, thank you so much for being here, Janice. This
Yeah, thanks
was
for having
such a
me. This was
great
great.
time. And I always appreciate your insight and everything that you have to say on musicians' wellness. I really, really, truly am inspired by you. So thank you
Yeah,
so
no,
much for
thank
being
you.
here.
And I mean, thank you for giving people a platform and, you know, kind of sharing your world with them too. I think it's also been really important for people to see that as well.
I think it's important to just be transparent. I think
Yep.
that like as musicians, a lot of what we do isn't on the performing stage, and we keep a lot of it inside. And so
Yep.
I think that the more transparent we can be about what we go through, what our struggles are, then it makes it easier for healing to happen, for solutions to come about, for actual progress to be made in that area. But
Yep.
when we keep it all inside, it's a lot harder to do that.
Yeah.
Just like you said, you got to ask for help when you need it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who knows what you're going through.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to kind of accept and learn, but it's been something that I've been working on a lot. But it's been really good. It's been really good for me. So do ask for help, because people inherently want to help. They just don't know how. So once you verbalize it, it gives them some kind of direction.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit subscribe, give us a rating, and follow on Instagram at The Aligned Musician. Thank you so much and take care.